You got to cast it down. Every time it comes up, you got to cast it down. It might be, like I said earlier, you might need to get you a song that's going to take you through your time of suffering. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. You might need to get you a song. You might need to get you a scripture. You might need something that's going to help you to make it through, that you can go back to time and time again.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 5. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 5.
Farmer, gotta wait. He just has to wait. You got to put your mind in it for the long run. Not only does he has no control over the weather, he waits a long time for the results. You know, you plant now and you reap in the fall. You can't plant now and the next day be eaten off of what you planted. You got to wait. But now here goes the third thing about the farmer. Is that he works hard while he's waiting. While he's waiting. Oh, there goes a weed. Oh, where's my hose at? Oh, you know what? I need to get a little fertilizer. He works hard while he's waiting. The farmer does what he can do. And so, even though we get in this waiting posture, in this waiting mode, that just don't mean that you sit back on your rusty dusty, all right? That means that you need to do whatever it is that you can do. The farmer, he waits on the Lord. And then finally, he says in verse 8, he says, be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. He said, be patient, establish, strengthen your hearts. Look at your notes. Establish your hearts. The word establish comes from the Greek word sterizo. Now, with all the stuff that we have happening in Washington with sports today, you don't even need to know what the English translation of that is. All right? Steroids. All right? He said what? Take some steroids. No, just kidding. Some spiritual steroids. not the steroids. I mean, I know when I was in college, man, I saw guys when I was playing football. Them guys would come to camp as freshmen, and, you know, they'd be working out. And, you know, they didn't play that first year. They came back next year looking like King Kong, man. I was wondering how they get that. Man, some guys must have worked hard this summer. I come to find out, man, they was on the juice. They was able to run jokers over, man. I mean, boom! Run people over and run people down. I said, wow, man. But you know what? That was the wrong way to do it. But you see what it did? What those steroids did for them? It enlarged their muscles. It gave them strength. And God is saying, not physical steroids. He said, but you need to get on some spiritual steroids. In the midst of your suffering, that you need to get on some spiritual steroids. You need to allow your spiritual muscles to get like the Incredible Hulk. All of a sudden, you start popping out of your clothes. Pants getting short. Spiritual muscles in the midst of it. And so you can see, perfect story that I've heard, you've heard it before. You've heard it, but let me tell it again about the guy who God told to push the rock. He said, just push the rock. And the man pushed the rock. And I'm going to shorten it up real quick because you've heard it before. He said, push the rock. And the man pushed and pushed for months and months. Nothing happened. Finally, he started pushing a little less. And then he gave up. And God came and God said, What are you doing? I told you to push the rock. And the man said, but I was pushing and it wasn't going anywhere. God said, I didn't tell you to move the rock. I told you to push the rock. Look, since you've been pushing, look at your back. Look at the muscles that you, look how ripped your back is. Look at your biceps and your triceps since you've been pushing. Look at your leg muscles since you've been pushing the rock. You got strong in the midst of pushing the rock. And so in the midst of your suffering, you got to find out how to strengthen yourself. Man, you got to find out how to steroid yourself up in the spirit and get spiritual muscles so that when you come through, you might have went in looking like olive oil, but on the other side, you come out looking like Popeye the Sailor Man. When you come out of it, when you come through that suffering, that God would steroid you up spiritually and you would come out on the other side strengthened. He said, be patient and strengthen your hearts. The second thing, the next thing we see as we look at reaching in, that you've got to reach in and overcome the bitterness and anger that's within you. A lot of reasons why people falter going through suffering is because they get bitter and they allow their anger to overcome them. And so instead of worshiping God, instead of reaching in and finding that joy, instead of following the example of Christ, instead of being strengthened and having patience in the midst of their suffering, they get angry. They get bitter. I can't believe the Lord did this. You know, man, God, thought when I became a Christian, you were going to take care of me. I thought you were going to watch over me, God. And that bitterness just starts to settle in your spirit. And maybe even your bitterness might not be against God. Your bitterness might be against another person. Maybe somebody has done you wrong. Maybe somebody has misused you and abused you. And now you just start gritting on them every time you see them. I hate you, man. I can't stand you. And here you are, wounded, hurt, which is bad enough. Which is bad enough. That, you know, it's bad enough that you've been hurt. It's bad enough that you got this situation that's causing you to suffer. But then we compound it. And we get angry. And we get bitter. And at that point, in all that suffering, we end up not benefiting. It was just like I say. If you're going to get up in the morning, if you're going to take a shower, if you're going to brush your teeth, if you're going to comb your hair, if you're going to put your clothes on, if you're going to get in your car, if you're going to pull into the church parking lot, if you're going to walk up the steps, if you're going to sit in the pew for 2 hours, you might as well get something out of it. Duh. You might as well get something out of it. If you're going to go through suffering where you're being buffeted and beaten and knocked all around, that when you come to the other side, you might as well get something out of it. Don't come through it. Come through it. Oh, man. Praise God. Praise God. I'm trusting God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's over now. I'm over here. Come through it. Strengthened. Come through it. Not angry, depressed, and bitter. Oh, I'm not going to say those emotions won't come up and try to overwhelm you, because they will come. You know, that's Satan's job. He's not going to quit. Satan is not. Do you think that just because you got on your knees and had devotion in your time of suffering that Satan is going to leave you alone? You can forget that. But don't stop. Let me give you a couple points. We won't look at these scriptures. You can read them. But the first thing you need to do is you need to acknowledge your bitterness and anger. See, a lot of times people go through suffering and they never even acknowledge the fact that they are angry and they're bitter. Sometimes they don't even know it. Well, you might need to get some counseling for anger. Angry? Who's angry? I'm not angry. See, so that's the first thing you got to do. You got to acknowledge it. The second thing you got to do, you got to repent from your anger and your bitterness. What does repent mean? It means that you've got to turn away from it, that you can't allow it to overtake you and to keep you hemmed up, that you've got to repent. What's that word repent? Repent means to have a change of mind that leads to a change of action. Metanoia, you know, a change of mind. You got to turn around and move in the other direction. Now, when you do that, when you acknowledge it and you repent, guess what? It's not going to go away. It's not going to go away. So what do you got to do? 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 5, say that you got to continually cast down every imagination and stronghold that wants to grab you. You got to cast it down. Every time it comes up, you got to cast it down. It might be, like I said earlier, you might need to get you a song that's going to take you through your time of suffering. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. You might need to get you a song. You might need to get you a scripture. You might need something that's going to help you to make it through, that you can go back to time and time again, that something that will strengthen you in the midst of it, something that will help you to cast down that imagination, that every time that thought of anger, every time that thought of bitterness would come up, that the Holy Spirit would move in your heart and the Holy Spirit would convict you and say, okay, here it comes. Here comes the bitterness. Here comes the anger. And you can take it and pull it down. And you might be all right for a couple of days and it'll come back again. And the Holy Spirit will say, here it comes. Here it comes. You got to take it and you got to pull it down again. You got to cast down every imagination and the thoughts that lift themselves and exalt themselves against the thing. You got to cast it down. But what we don't want to do that sometimes. Let me have this. I don't want to let it go. I want to hold on to this. I got the right to be angry. I got the right to be bitter. And I'm not going to let it go. I'm going to hold on to it. Because you know what? This is something that I need to do. Come on, my brothers and sisters. At some point, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. And the only way you're going to let it go is to cast it down. Let's look at that verse real quick. I wasn't going to turn it, but Lord just say, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, first of all, it says in verse 4 that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. That means that they're not fleshly. They're not of a material nature, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is something that has a hold, a capture. It has something captured, something blocked in and won't let go. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Woo! Every thought to the obedience of Christ. You got to bring your thoughts into captivity. You know what? You can control what you think. Now, is your mind that weak that you can't control what you think? You know what? I might not be able to control what initially enters my mind. You know what? I might not be able to control that. When that thought initially enters my mind, I might not be able to control that. But you know what? I can control how long it stays there. I can control how long it stays there. You know, sometimes, y'all gonna think I'm crazy. But you know, sometimes I might wake up in the middle of the night and there might be a song on my mind and I'll be saying, now who sings that song? Now I know who sings that song. Who sings that song? Man, I can't believe I forgot who sang that song. Oh man. Man, who sings that song? I mean, get up, man. Who sings that song? You know what? Lord say, man, what's wrong with you? You know what? I'll pick up the scripture, man, and start reading or start praying or start going back, you know, when I go back and just quoting the Bible, something, you know what, to take my mind off of that. Because if I just lay there and try, it'll drive you crazy until you figure it out. And then you know what, once I do that and it's off, I don't even think about it. And then the next day I'll be going along, all of a sudden the name will pop right up in my head. What's that let you know? You can control your thoughts. You know, if you allow your thoughts to overtake you, they will destroy you. You know, some people, you know, it's just like evolutionists. You know, they built a whole ape man on a tooth. They found a tooth, and they built the Nebraska man. And not only the Nebraska man, but the Nebraska woman. And then the Nebraska child. Off of what? Off of one tooth. And then they found out that it was the extinct tooth of a pig. You know, a lot of people are like that. You get one thought, and you don't build a whole theology. You don't build a whole science off of that one thought. Well, you know, so-and-so didn't do this. So that must mean this, which means this. I think I'm going to punch him out, man. I can't. You know, and you let your, you know, what's the temptation say? It was just my imagination. It's just your imagination. Running away. Man, folks let their imaginations run away. You can control your thoughts, your mind. You got to, Paul said, pull them down. He said, pull them down. Don't let them stay there. Don't let them captivate you and cause you to be a prisoner in your own body. Cast down, then you got to forgive those who cause you to be angry and bitter. You got to forgive them, Ephesians 4:32. And then even according to Romans 12, you got to show them kindness. You know, that's a good way to overcome bitterness and anger. You know, it's the show them kindness. Well, let me close with my last point here. So through it all, you got to reach up and you've got to worship God. You've got to reach after the example that Christ set within. You've got to reach within for joy and patience and overcoming bitterness. And then finally, you got to reach out. You got to reach out. Reach up, reach after, reach in, and then reach out. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 3. It said, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Wow. You got to reach out. The problem is that we get selfish. And we get so focused on our own hurts and our own wounds that don't you know that a part of your healing, a part of your healing is going to be in reaching out to somebody else. Galatians says, whatsoever you sow, that will you also reap. If you sow comfort in others, then that's just the law of nature, that you're going to reap comfort coming back at you again. As we conclude, look at the notes. And it says here, the comfort that Paul and the believers in Corinth received from God could be used to comfort others who are going through tribulation. Look at this. The words tribulation and trouble that he uses in verse 4, tribulation and trouble. He uses those two words in verse 4. Come from the same Greek word, thlipsis. And it means this. It means pressure or being pressed together. Paul was constantly being squeezed for his Christian witness. Pressure, trouble. You know what the word trouble means? It means that you're being squeezed. It means that you're getting pressure from every side. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8. Since you're in 2 Corinthians, just turn over one page in my Bible. You may have to turn over more than one, but in my Bible, I turned over one. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. He says, "For we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. We are confused sometimes, but you know what? We're not in despair. We are not without an answer. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed." At Paul's testimony, he said, "Man, we are squeezed." And you know what? When you are squeezed, what comes out of you? Yeah, I remember when Bo Ford preached here a couple years ago. He gave the example of the sponge, and he said, if you take a sponge and you dip it in water and you squeeze it, water will come out. If you take a sponge and you dip it in orange juice and you squeeze it, orange juice will come out. If you take a child of God, and you dip them in complaining and bitterness and ungodliness and worldliness, and you squeeze them, moaning and belly aching is going to come out. Oh, but if you take the child of God and you dip them in prayer, you dip them in Bible study, you dip them in fellowship with the saints, you dip them in singing the songs of Zion, when you squeeze them, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And not only that, but what are you going to do? You're going to begin to reach out to see somebody else who's hurting. Paul said the same. He said we were squeezed. Paul said we were squeezed. We were pressed. We were shaken. We were in a tight place. And you know what? God came. God showed up and God comforted us. And with the same comfort that we got, God wants us to go back and comfort somebody else. And then the last paragraph here, this is deep. This is deep, saints. And I'm going to say this is deep. The word comfort comes from the Greek word. I didn't put this in here, but the Greek word parakaleo. All right? And that's the same word Jesus used in John 14:6 for guess who? The Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. This word comfort, he says that you are to bring comfort. You are to be a parakaleo. You are to be a, now once again, I made it a specific point to put in here. Believers cannot be the Holy Spirit. Now, because some people want to be the Holy Spirit in other people's life, you know. You can't be the Holy Spirit, but you can have a ministry similar to the Holy Spirit. That whenever you come and you bring comfort to those who are hurting, to those who are suffering, you're acting just like God. People want to say, well, how can I act like God? You can act just like God whenever you come and minister to someone who is hurting and suffering. Through it all, you've got to reach up and worship God. Through it all, you've got to reach after the example of Christ. Through it all, you've got to reach in and find joy and patience and overcoming for bitterness. And through it all, you got to reach out and help someone else.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How Can I Find Contentment in This Life? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Call to Suffer Part 5, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer Part 5. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer Part 5. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.